This prayer reveals what I believe is a very serious mandate. We are responsible to pray for the blessing of God in our personal lives. In a moment, let's read Psalm 67, the entire psalm. We're going to go back to one verse. I'll expand on it, share testimony, and then I want to read through it and give a little bit of context, okay? Verse 1 of Psalm 67. God, be merciful to us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth and your salvation among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. This psalm has required a change in perception, a change in perspective on the nature of God, the tools that he uses. We already know about his heart for the nations, but the tools that he has designed and created to literally draw in the nations in part are represented in this psalm. And what I want you to do is I want you to look at verse 6 again. Let me talk to you for just a few minutes on verse 6. It says, then the earth. Now, this is following the people of God coming in to a measure of blessing. A mantle or breakthrough in the area of blessing. Now, I'm not talking about get rich schemes. I'm not talking about building personal empires. I'm talking about supernatural wealth, intellectually, emotionally, relationally, in every single part of life is the design of the Lord. It includes finances, but that's not the focus. The focus here, honestly, is the overall well-being of a person who lives well with the Lord. Doesn't mean no problems or challenges. It just means he walks with us in those difficulties and brings about his redemptive solution. So verse 6, then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. I love that verse. The earth shall yield or increase. Because somehow in this unusual invitation to live in the blessing of the Lord and to see nations come to him, a part of that process is that the earth would say, all right, you can have it. I've been holding it in all this time, but now you can have it. The earth yields, surrenders its increase. We have a wonderful prayer house over here. I remember the Sunday we presented a project to the church family here years ago when people were, you know, the church had grown to a much smaller size. And it was during that time the Lord put in my heart the vision for that prayer house. I saw it sitting on this front row. And that's a long story, not for now. But when we went to raise the money that one Sunday morning, Chris had just got here and prophesied that all of that money would come in pledges or offering in that one day. And so as soon as he gave that word, I think he hid under the front row because we were going to take an offering and actually find out if it happened. So that's a quick way to test the prophetic word. It's a real quick way. Yeah. Either you have it or you don't. And I think we ended up with $8.50 over the amount that was needed. And one of the kids in the church gave $10, and I think he's convinced he took us over the edge into the land of bounty. And that happened on that day. But that prayer house, my wife she would manage the prayer ministry there. She had a little office. As you walk in, there's a little door to the left, and there's a small little office that was her office. And of course, she would pray there as well as in the main part and work from that little office. And she had a plant in there. And this plant, just if you can imagine being in this place where this continuous worship, like 24/7 and prayer and intercession for the nations and all that goes on there, no weddings, no Bible studies, no anything else, just prayer and worship. This little plant that would bloom it would have flowers every November and December. But something happened to that plant in the time it spent in that prayer house. It finally got to where it just bloomed 12 months of the year. Just continuous 12 months of the year. Now, you have to understand, when the more pronounced the presence of God comes, the more he messes with our understanding of seasons. Jesus said in John 4, he said, you say it takes 3 months and then there's a harvest. Why did they say it took three months and then a harvest? Because that's what it takes. You plant the seed, 3 months later you get the harvest. So Jesus says, you say it takes 3 months. I say the fields are ripe and ready for harvest. Of course, he's talking about evangelism, but he's using a natural parallel. I remind you, the book of Ezekiel says, and your trees will bear fruit 12 months of the year. So here's this plant over here that would have blooms on it 12 months of the year. Benny and I bought a new house a few years ago, a little over three years ago. And the previous owner did a masterful job of hiring and having landscaping done. And so there's flowers and trees in all the right places, you know. And there's this one place right up front and right to the right of the walkway as you go towards the house, this beautiful section of just iris flowers. I love flowers. I'm so impressed with God who would create flowers that don't do anything except look beautiful. I mean, they just look beautiful. And that would be in his heart and mind. You know, he's different than we sometimes think. He's not just this industrious, functional person. He's one who loves beauty. His first miracle took place at a wedding. And it's just this heart of a celebratory father who does this stuff. So here's these irises. And we noticed a year or so ago, in fact, it was a year ago, these irises, they bloom every... I think it's March and April, or April, May, maybe. And a year ago, they had blooms in November that continued in December. And then, of course, they started again in April, in May. But then we noticed in the heat of the summer, July, they had flowers again. And then in August, in the smoky heat of August, flowers again. In September, and they've got flowers. In fact, after this Noah's flood that took place here just recently, competing with Noah's, exaggeration, but only slight. After that, it just threw up a whole bunch more flowers. And so we've got this iris plant in front of our house that is now giving us beautiful flowers basically 12 months of the year. What is it? I feel like little tiny things like this are signs to catch our attention that there's a shift in season in which he's going to function outside of nature, outside of the boundaries. It's not that nature and those responsibilities aren't fit. They are, but they are not limiting. They don't limit him. And I felt I was honestly to prophetically declare a shift in seasons where things would happen unusually so in the area of harvest and personal increase. I have a friend, I won't mention his name just to keep the focus away from him. I'm not sure he'd appreciate it. But he has thousands of orange trees. And these oranges, we have an orange tree at our house right now that our previous owner made sure was planted. It's gorgeous, and it has oranges right now. I just ate a couple this week from, and so November, December, I think January, we have oranges. But my friend's orange trees, I think he's got like 12,000 of them. Half of them have oranges in like July and June. The wrong season. And they're worth like 10 times, I think it's 10 times, a huge significant increase of the value of each orange. They're also the best quality possible, and he harvests them in the wrong time of year. Nobody has them that time of year except for him. He does have a whole bunch of pastors that walk through these orange trees praying continuously. It might have something to do with the change of season. But then he told me, almost in hushed terms, that he has, I forget now if it's 6 trees or 12 trees, that actually bear oranges 12 months of the year. I feel like there's some of these things are starting to happen. It may be completely different for you, but it'll be simply a lesson to increase the awareness that God's seasons are different than ours. And they are never restrictive. They are always avenues of expression. They are times for him to reveal his heart and his abundance. Now, go back to this Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful to us. Boy, it all starts with mercy. Mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine on us. That phrase, cause his face to shine upon us, is a prayer for the favor of a loving Father, his countenance to actually be seen on our countenance. That his delight over us would be actually seen in evidence on our own expression, our own, the way we do life. This prayer reveals what I believe is a very serious mandate. We are responsible to pray for the blessing of God in our personal lives. It is a responsibility. We owe the world around us a blessed life. Now, again, I'm not talking about materialistic empires. I'm talking about pursuing the favor of God manifested on our lives, because the next verse says that your way would be known on earth. They won't know what kind of father you're like unless you do something unusually bountiful with my life, with my relationships, with my health, with my finances, with favor, open doors. All these things are supposed to be marked with an unusual sense of favor and blessing. And we owe each other that kind of personal prayer life. God, bless me. Let it come from your mercy, God. Bless me. Cause your face to shine on me. Otherwise, they won't know what kind of a father you are. But notice the next phrase. It says, and your salvation to the nations. Goodness gracious. Is it possible that a last day revival, the harvest, the billion soul harvest, at least in part comes because the nature of a perfect father was seen upon a people that hosted and carried his favor and his blessings well? It's the calling card. It's the invitation, if you will. Hey, I have a father. He really cares for you as much as he cares for me. I want you to know what his favor looks like. I want you to know what his blessing looks like. He'll make a complete difference in your home, in your marriage, in your business. That's what we live, is we live in this privileged opportunity to introduce a perfect father to a world, a planet of orphans, to be frank. Then verse 3 and 4 just talk about this, what happens when the nations come to the Lord. They bless the Lord. They live in joy. The nations are healthy. And then we get down to verse 5, let the peoples praise you, all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. Here's what I want you to notice. Verse 1 says, God, please bless us. Verse 6 says, God shall bless us. There's a point in your prayer life where you stop asking and you start decreeing. There's a point in our prayer life where we stop asking. I can feel it. There are times in my own time with him, it feels as though if I ask again, it will be an offense. I don't mean he's angry at me. I mean, I'm not tapping into the moment he created for me, because there's a point where it's fruitless to ask. Because it's been settled. It now must be decreed. And it's in the decree that things, the purposes of God, actually begin to unfold in a realized fashion. Jesus did this before he ever healed anyone, before he ever opened blind eyes or caused the lame to walk or anything. He declared in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, open the blind eyes, recovery of sight to the blind, the healing of the lame. He made the decree before anything happened, because he was acknowledging, this is what's happened to me, and this is the reason. And I'm telling you, folks, decree over your own life. I am blessed by God as a testimony to the nations, because the billion soul harvest I get to be involved in. I have a role. I have a part to play, because the favor of God is on my life. And there is someone that's going to see it.
That's right.
I don't mean we all get broadcast on the news. Who would want that anyway? But somebody is going to see it. Another family, another individual is going to see there's something unusual resting upon that person. And it's the attractant. It's the invitation, if you will. It's on your life and mine. And here it is. God shall bless us. God, our own God, shall bless us. God, verse 7, God shall bless us. And here's a prophetic decree. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Don't get messed up by that fear, because the fear of God in a right sense draws us to him. The fear of God in a perverted sense repels people from him. So this, that was worth the entire day right there. This right here is a decree. It's a prophetic decree that says God shall bless us. In fact, say this with me. God shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.